Well, hey, good morning. It is about 13 after 9 Eastern Standard Time. And here at WWGH Marion's Talking Place, 13 is a lucky number. Because that's when my show starts. I'm Adam Lipp, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. Good morning. Bundle up, make some coffee, tea, or your other favorite warm beverage. We have some interesting technological talk just for you. Every Tuesday and Thursday, about 13 or so after 9 in the morning, we get together and talk technological topics, be it a smartphone, a tablet, maybe your iPhone, or netbook, notebook, desktop computer. Your server isn't serving. That's okay. We discuss those things right here on the air. Hey, give me a call. One thing I do here at the Adam, the Computer Guy Show, is provide free technical support. So if there is an issue with your home or office computing gadgetry, I'll be more than happy to try to help you with the solution. No charge whatsoever. How about that? Give me a call right now. 740-383-9944. News from the information technology world. Well, before I discuss the news, we have a telephone call. Love it when people call me. Good morning. You're on the Adam, the Computer Guy Show. Hello? Good. Hello? Okay, caller, please try me back up. And I'll be happy to take your phone call. Not quite sure what happened, but, you know, that does happen occasionally with technology. So, again, caller, please do ring me back. I'll be more than happy to speak with you. Phone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. In technology news, this one kind of interested me because I am the proud owner of an LG G4 smartphone, cell phone, whatever you want to call it, and it looks like the G5 is coming out. Not quite yet, but it's in the planning stages, and it's by LG. Interestingly, LG has announced a phone case for the upcoming G5, and again, before releasing the G5 itself. Now, this quick cover case features a metallic-like mesh front cover. We have a telephone call. We'll continue that story shortly. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy Show.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if this will fit in with your format or not, but I'm kind of interested in a documentary I saw the other day where they stated that home robots would be on the market after the year 2030. Everybody would have a home robot, meaning it would do our chores and such.
That sounds pretty cool. Of course, that's 14 years away, but that's close enough for definitely to discuss.
Well, I didn't hear what you said.
That's about 14 years away, but I mean, that's close enough to discuss. I mean,
right, but now they were talking about what it should look like, because that scares me the most. Should it look like Star Wars 3PCO, whatever his name is, or should it look like a supermodel? Should it look like a cartoon character? You know, it really disturbs me what that could be. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'm thinking maybe a home robot for someone who's single like myself should just look like a very attractive companion. Maybe that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of home robots?
I mean, we have the robotic vacuums, the Roombas, and I've always considered purchasing one, but I still kind of do the old-fashioned Hoover or Eureka method.
Well, they said it was artificial intelligence and it could possibly take over the world. I realize that's far-fetched and everything, but they said artificial intelligence is increasing dramatically, and it could possibly exceed our intelligence.
Definitely, and certainly what you can do with artificial intelligence, it's really up to the imagination more than what the limitations currently are. And thing is, since I've been in college, and that was back in the early 80s, they've been discussing artificial intelligence. Of course, we have the book 1984 and other literature that's come out and still does, but it seems like what you can do with a human brain will always outpace what they can create in a lab. And as I tell people, computers, they basically just follow instructions. They really aren't smart, but they can follow instructions and continue to do things repetitively that you probably couldn't get a Homo sapiens to do. And that's why something like a Roomba, where it can sense where a room might end and begin and what kind of flooring you have, that's pretty cool, and without having a lot of cost or a lot of trouble.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because the way the documentary was, it was more scary than that. They could actually be cynical, have a sense of humor, and think out of the box. So maybe they're just doing that to be dramatic.
So
it was kind of disturbing, I thought.
Yeah, and people like to hear that. They like to hear something a little shocking, and we're saying, okay, in 14 years, well, right now the main story is, of course, the presidential election, and always a surprise, which we seem to uncover every day. And, of course, in 14 years, that could be as many as four presidents down the line. So
mm-hmm.
Look at how the world might... Looking at a story that I found on CNN, was just doing a quick search here. By the magic of technology, we have the internet right here in the studio. And when I was in radio back in the 80s, we didn't really have that. But, of course, we did have old-fashioned Ma Bell.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions that the ultimate dream of robot makers worldwide is to fill the planet with anthropomorphic robots, which is the stuff of science fiction movies. There's a picture on this page of the Ream, R-E-E-M robot, which is built by a company in Spain called PAL Robotics. It's available, but it can give you an idea of what's to come in the...
PAL Robotics?
Okay. Yeah, it's called PAL, P-A-L Robotics. If you go to CNN.com and just search for City Life in 2030, it'll come right up. Pal-robotics.com/EN is their website. So that
I'm glad you cleared that up for me, because I was kind of disturbed by what he said.
Yeah,
it was really.
And I think, you know, since in my lifetime, again, since I went to college back in the early 80s, there were some professors, because I took a lot of computer science courses, who were interested in artificial intelligence. And to me, it was like a pipe dream. Certainly, there's only... certain things that a computer or a robotic device can do, and again, computers don't mind doing repetitive tasks and continually calculating and coming out with a result, whereas a human being can think. And how can a piece of machinery think? Because they don't have a brain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some people I know probably don't have brains either, but at least in general, you know... I went to a technological type engineering college, and there were a lot of pretty smart people and a lot of PhDs, and they did a lot of thinking. And it's like, well, what can a robotic device, what can a machine, a computer, a robot do that might even be better than a human being can do?
Mm-hmm.
This Ream robot has a touch screen to display information, and it can sustain basic conversations.
Right. That's true. You can talk on the phone to a computer.
Right,
now,
and it's kind of like Siri or Cortana.
Mm-hmm.
Responds to inquiries in spaces such as shopping malls. I should go out and see. We have a Ream here at the Marion Center Mall. And they can say, well, where is the best radio show in all of Ohio? And, of course, it would tell me right here at the Adam the Computer Guy Show, as well as museums and airports. So,
maybe you could pose that to your audience. If they do come out with computers to take over, what would they look at? Like a cartoon character or... your ex-wife, or, you know, they could probably tailor them to your needs, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the ex, it could double as a dartboard, right? I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah, okay.
PAL robot kind of looks like a person with, like, a white mask on it. So, yeah, if you look at that that website, pal-robotics.com/EN, which I guess is English because the company is in Europe, in Spain. Yeah, and the robot, I mean, it doesn't look superhuman, but it has the arms and the torso and some basic Homo sapiens type of features. So,
right. Well, the one that they showed on the documentary was a beautiful woman. So I don't know where they're going with that, but
yeah, you kind of like the idea. I mean, you look at the R2-D2 and in history, the robot really isn't known for looks, but yeah, it'd be kind of cool. As I say, it's someone like myself who's single. Having an attractive companion as a robot, well, that would be pretty cool.
Sure.
Or again,
okay.
the opposite way, you could have it look like your ex, and that it could double as something that, you know, something that you can find something to do that might be mutually amusing. Who knows? But anyway, thanks again for calling.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks again for calling. Just one more. Are you a regular listener to the Adam the Computer Guy Show? Just the first time?
Your station in general, everything. Here and there.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. I mean, we are unique what we do here. I mean, we have celebrity interviews. We have Scott's show that's on every weekday. And, of course, Charlie Ever is a radio legend. So
yeah, I call Charlie once in a while.
That's wonderful. Thanks for listening. Have a great
you.
Stay warm. And feel free to call back. We
okay,
really appreciate
now.
It. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Yes, we talk technology, robots, artificial intelligence. That is an interesting topic. I appreciate that, gentlemen, for calling. Great conversation, and as we were talking, I did a little research online, and again, this palrobotics.com, this company is a leading humanoid robotics research for the real world. And this Ream robot weighs between 80 and 100 kilograms, which is pretty close to what a human being would weigh, and it increases productivity and gets unique interaction for events. So we'll certainly follow this because it is quite cool, if I should say so myself. Feel free to chime in here in the conversation. We'd love to have you with us in a virtual sense. 740-383-9944. We were discussing the new quick cover case for the LG G5 phone, which is forthcoming. Now, this phone will be a little bigger than the one that I have, the G4. It's about 5.5, 5.75 inches, and LG posted a teaser promo for the device on Facebook and says that the G5 has a screen that is always on. And they've introduced the case in advance of the phone, which is, I guess, a form of reverse marketing. But in some ways, I think it's a good way to tease these devices because you want to see, well, how big is the phone? Because there have been jokes about the iPhone getting bigger and bigger and ends up being as big or bigger than a computer. So how big will the G5 be and how ergonomic will it be? And will it be popular? Will people buy it? So we'll keep posted on that. I guess that makes some sense here. I am Adam Lepp, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. And every Tuesday and Thursday between about 9:13 a.m. and 10 Eastern Time, we get together and talk technology topics. We take your telephone calls. 740-383-WWGH. That's 9944. Feel free to chime in because we're always here to discuss interesting topics in the technology realm. You can also send me an email. Pick up the keyboard, touchpad, or maybe the voice recognition system, or a robot if you have one handy, a robot who can type out an email. And email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. If you have looked at the WWGH website recently, hopefully you've been impressed. And I'm sorry to pat myself on the back because I'm the person who does the website, but that's okay. I guess we can live with a little bit of arrogance, just a teeny tiny bit. Anyway, the show schedule, show archives, previous shows from Charlie Evers, myself, the Wittenberg Door, and of course now with Scott Spears, Sober Joe, which is on Friday. All kinds of good stuff is available. Just point and click, and you can listen to the shows on demand. Good stuff. Also, earlier this week, Scott had his usual celebrity guests, and of course, there are more celebrity guests on the way. Check this out yesterday. Now, you're an I Love Lucy fan like I am, certainly one of the pioneering shows in situation comedies, the legendary Lucille Ball. Wanda Clark, her personal secretary for more than 20 years, she was on yesterday. After the 12 o'clock features. And after the 1 o'clock features yesterday, Frank Gorey, who was Lucille Ball's chauffeur for more than 30 years, they were on with Scott. That show will be posted for your listen on demand pleasure, probably later today, at WWGH1071.com. Later today, Dick Gregory, he is on regularly, a comedian and activist, discussing the current political situation after the noon features with Scott on Now. Of course, with the current election and other political activity, that should be a very interesting discussion, if I should say so myself. Check this out. On Saturday, the day before Valentine's Day, Colonel Robert Parker, who is a legendary wrestling manager. He'll be here at the Marion Center Mall between 2 and 8 p.m. on Saturday. And at 7:10 p.m. until 8, he'll be hosting or with a live radio show. How about that? Of course, taking your calls and other forms of communication. Good stuff here at WWGH. As I've mentioned, we have, in my opinion, we have better guests, better content than the stations in Columbus and Cleveland and Dayton. And I challenge any station in Chicago or New York City to have the great variety of celebrity guests that we have here at Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. We're not the biggest station in the world, but I tell you, we're one of the best. And I think we're quite revolutionary in the talk radio business. So please listen to us regularly. Always a surprise. And I guarantee you, we will not disappoint. Please send me an email. Let me know what you think about this show and the website and all the other shows. Suggestions for topics, always welcome. Send me an email. I'm very easy to reach. Adam at WWGH1071.com. In the topic of smartphone news, United States Representatives Ted Lieu from California and Blake Farenthold from Texas last week introduced legislation to prevent states from passing laws banning the sale of smartphones with encryption capabilities. The bill is called the Encrypt Act of 2016. And it provides that a state or political subdivision of a state may not mandate or request that a manufacturer, developer, seller, or provider of covered products either design a security backdoor or modify existing security functions to allow the surveillance of their users or allow their physical search by any agency or instrumentality of a state, political subdivision, or a state of the U.S. of A. Now, this bill prohibits the use of products or services from manufacturers, developers, sellers, or providers to decrypt or otherwise render intelligible information that has been encrypted or otherwise rendered unintelligible. Now, the covered products include hardware, software, electronic devices, and online services available to the general public, so it is quite broad-ranging. So in short, the Encrypt Act of 2016 aims to shut off attempts by the FBI, the NSA, and law enforcement agencies in the United States to force high-tech companies to include security or encryption backdoors or otherwise provide access to information on devices. So information being encrypted or decrypted, and of course, the general topic of technological security, always a big one, and I certainly invite your opinion. Let me know what you think. What do you think about this bill? It kind of struck me and kind of a surprise, and this is some pretty new news. This headline came out earlier today. My number here at the station is 740-383-9944. We talked about the great variety of shows here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and all these great celebrity guests that we have, including some that are coming up. Be sure to listen every Monday from 10 a.m., about 10 a.m., until 11 a.m. for Marion Today with Fran Vohl. And on Tuesday, right after my show, it is Swap Shop with Sean Kraft. A lot of S's, but S stands for a super show. Call and you can buy, sell, and trade products. Talk to Sean. It is a weekly show, about 10 after 10 a.m., every Tuesday morning with Sean Kraft here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. 107.1.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lapp!
Well, thank you very much. Yes, don't you love it when they sing your name? Not quite sure why those singers wanted to do my name, but I guess they thought Adam Lepp was kind of a cool-sounding moniker, and that's fine with me. Hey, chime in here. Talk to me about technology, about robots, smartphones, phones that aren't quite so smart, maybe some troubles that you've had with your computer at your home or your office. I would more than be welcome to receive your communication. Little chilly outside, but I tell you, the roads are in really good shape, so it is very good driving weather. And speaking of driving or walking or even bicycling, if you'd like to be an in-studio guest with me on the Adam the Computer Guy show, we can have some coffee or maybe a Diet Coke and discuss current events in technology. We can debate, we can interview, that's fine. And of course, take telephone calls. I would love to have you, because we're an interactive show where we really value our listeners and our listeners participating in the show experience. So send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, and you can be a guest on my show. Speaking of regular guests, we go all the way to Wales in the United Kingdom. Unfortunately, our signal doesn't travel that far, but by the internet, it travels pretty much anywhere in the world. My longtime friend and business associate, Mr. Nick C.J., always has an interesting anecdote to share with you. Let's see what he has today. Stand by, please. Of course, he is in the United Kingdom, so it may take a few seconds here to connect, so bear with me while I get the technology in order. Let's see here. Having a little trouble reaching the United Kingdom today. Now, that might be because it's kind of chilly outside, and sometimes the signal travels just a little bit slower than we'd like it to. So let's go ahead and try one more time.
Hi, Adam. Today's funny from the web and IT world here in the wilds of Wales in the UK is about websites. Yesterday, I went to see a customer I've been building a website for some time, mainly because they're very slow in sending the content to me. They wanted a face-to-face chat about the site, so I popped out to them. Their first question was why their garden machinery site had a grass photograph as the background. I replied, because you asked for a grass photograph as the background. Well, we don't like it, they said. So, fair enough, I deleted it there and then on the spot. So, what would you like in its place, I asked. Let's leave it white. Okay. This went on for about 15 minutes, deleting all of the photographs and leaving it white with words. The last bit that was left was a nice slideshow of farm machinery and quad bikes that they sold. These were the models they told me they stocked, and they sent me the photographs for them. Ah, yes, they said. But all of the photos that we sent to you with the ones we don't stock. Flabbergasted is the only word that even comes close to my exasperation. Moving forward, they have promised to send me photos of things they actually sell. Of course, the customer is always right. So, ho-hum, let's move on. Back to you, Adam.
Well, thank you, Nick. See, third time was the charm. We reached our regular commentator, Nick C.J. in Wales, United Kingdom. And that was quite the interesting anecdote, interaction with customers about website building and website updating, and of course, website security. We'll be hearing more from Nick probably later in the show. Of course, feel free to chime in here, especially if you'd like to be a regular commentator. We can play your segments regularly. Give me a call, 740-383-9944 on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And again, you can email me, adam@wwgh1071.com. Speaking of some newfangled gadgets, there is something out called the Tap Lock, TAPPLOCK. Now, check this out. The Tap Lock is a padlock that unlocks when you press your finger against a sensor to let it read your fingerprint. So it takes the fingerprint reader that a lot of laptops have a little bit further. Now, there are other smart padlocks on the market that you can unlock using your smartphone via Bluetooth, though there are a couple of points that make TapLock stand out. First, the price for backers of their crowdfunding campaign is relatively low, $29 for the basic version and $49 for the larger model. Second, what you get for that larger model is compelling, since it can charge your phone if you're in a bind. How about that? The battery on that one lasts up to 3 years on a single charge. That's pretty good. While the basic version has a 6-month battery life. Now, the Tap Lock can recognize your fingerprint and unlock in about 0.8 seconds. That's pretty fast. It will sound an alarm if someone tampers with the lock or someone you haven't authorized tries to open it. Now, a Tap Lock can recognize up to 200 different prints, and you can customize access times, location, and duration. Well, how about that? The Tap Lock is a high-end padlock, which I think not only is a lot of fun, but at a relatively reasonable price. Can make your life a lot easier and certainly more secure. Now, feel free to give me a call here. We talk technology or topics that are technologically related. 740-383-9944. You are listening to the Adam, the Computer Guy Show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. We talked about some of the upcoming celebrity and otherwise interesting guests here on Marion's Talking Place. Check this one out. On Monday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, Brandi Chalais. This is at 12:10 p.m. on Scott Spears' show. Brandi Chalais from Dittrich Museum in nearby Euclid, Ohio. It houses the largest, most comprehensive collection of historical contraceptives in the world. Don't want to miss that one. Day after Valentine's Day, somewhat ironically, about 10 minutes after 12 p.m., Monday, February 15th, with our esteemed general manager, Mr. Scott Spears, on Now with Scott Spears. And then following Brandi Chalais on Monday at about 10 after 1 p.m., it is the Powell Psychic. It is a new weekly segment, which will be playing every Monday at about 10 after 1 p.m. It takes any call or anything, loved ones who have passed away, financial future, and love life. The Powell Psychic. How about that? Right after the 1 o'clock features, every Monday afternoon on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1. About 19 minutes before 10 Eastern Time here on the Adam the Computer Guy Show, we take your calls, answer your emails, and you can also message us on Facebook with any questions or comments that you have relating to information technology topics. In some computer business news, France's Data Protection Authority, which is called CNIL, on Monday formally gave Facebook 3 months' notice to comply with the French Data Protection Act. A working group comprised of regulators from France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Spain, and Germany recommended the action. On-site and online inspections, along with a documentary audit, disclosed that Facebook had failed to meet the requirements of the French Data Protection Act. Now, this notice gives Facebook a laundry list of things to do, which they have 90 days for. And we'll go ahead and cover that shortly. But we have a telephone call. And we'll get back to that Facebook story, which I think is quite interesting. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy Show.
Oh, hey, Adam. It's your cohort, Brandon Oak. How are you today?
Oh, Brandon, I am doing just fine. We have some nice warm coffee that is being consumed as we speak. And you're always an interesting guest. We've played your segments multiple times. You are quite the authority on smartphones and apps, computer security, and also safety. That is, not crossing the street trying to talk on your phone and having traffic pass you in multiple directions. So how are things out your way today, Mr. Brandon?
Oh, it's another chilly day in Ohio. It went from 60 the other day to 20-something last night, so I'm like, all right, sure.
don't you love this this ever-changing weather? I think it makes things more exciting,
right.
And it's part of the fun
definitely.
Of being an Ohioan. Any new technology topics, Brandon, that have crossed your mind since we talked a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, actually, there kind of has been, but I'm trying to think of a few here. Haven't had my thoughts collected. I've been seeing a lot of news about the Fitbits lately and trying to make them more stylish. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think when it comes to a wearable, you want it to look cool, not feel like you're a walking robot. We discussed robots with our caller from earlier in the hour. And, you know, Fitbit, it just looks like a regular bracelet, a regular wristband. And often you don't even know somebody's wearing one. But certainly making it stylish, in addition to being functional, I mean, just like same thing you do with a phone. You want it to look cool. You want to buy a cute-looking phone case or whatever. It certainly adds to the appeal. I'm all for it as long as it's not overdone. Any more thoughts about safety, Brandon, when using a cell phone or other electronic device? That was kind of a big topic we discussed when you were with me in the studio a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it's an everyday occurrence, especially with people just flat out not paying attention to where they're going. And I've seen this not just, you know, people texting and driving. That's a whole different topic, but I mean, just the other day when I was in the store, again, there were people pushing carts and looking on their cell phone at the same time, and just I saw a few actually run into a few aisles because they weren't paying attention. Or, you know, the Bluetooth, you think they're talking to you, but really they're talking to somebody else, and just, there's a serious gap in understanding, or a wall, so to speak.
I guess that's part of the issue, Brandon, is exactly... Someone has that Bluetooth headset, especially if their hair is a little on the longer, bushy side. It's not always obvious exactly whom it is they are communicating with, and that definitely can make for a rather dangerous situation. Any thoughts on that? And maybe should we go ahead and try to ban some of that usage in places, you know, let alone a car, but let alone a grocery store or somewhere where you want to know whom it is exactly you are communicating with?
Well, I mean, you could try, but I don't know if that would translate very well. I mean, I'm sure there'd be plenty of people who would be offended by trying to tell you can't use a headset or a phone in the supermarket, even though maybe we should just set up a bunch of bumpers along the aisleways so, you know, so if you do run into something, it doesn't actually hurt anybody.
I don't think it's very enforceable. I mean, that's kind of the issue. It almost reminds me of the e-cigarettes. One thing I've observed in many places where it's either posted or implied that you can't use a vape or e-cigarette, people pretty much can sneak them because you don't light it. I mean, they're very discreet, and people are and people are using them, and unless you really look carefully, you really don't know it. And I don't know if employees at these businesses are oblivious, or it's a case where as long as it doesn't become out of hand, it isn't really a big deal. And sometimes we look at any kind of e-cig or vape device is kind of like a smart piece of technology anyway. It's almost like we look at if this technology is being used, is it done discreetly? Does it really interfere with the flow of the business? And is it a safety issue? So there are many things in that equation.
I mean, I can definitely see why there's some places that don't allow them, because I mean, it's taking it back to the 1990s where you're allowed smoking anywhere. I mean, it's kind of like a newer, updated version of that, really. I mean, it doesn't have the same side effects, so to speak, but I mean, it's the same concept. I mean, I don't know. And then also on that e-cig thing, there was a new study done. I can't remember where I saw it, but it actually, for the younger crowd, it actually leads to smoking, which is kind of an ironic twist, really. But
so, what do you think about e-cigs? I mean, someone of your age, I would say late 20s, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly, you've seen. I mean, since your high school days, you've seen smoking bans, and then the advent of e-cigs, and now it's a case where are they dangerous, and where are they allowed? What's your take on the whole thing? They really aren't regulated that much. Do you think they should be regulated more? Do we need to do more research to see how dangerous they are? And is it maybe a good thing?
I think they should be, because I've done a bit of research, and I've found that some of them actually contain some of the chemicals, formaldehyde, and we all may or may not know that's what's helped preserve, you know, dead bodies, to put it bluntly. I mean, so... I mean, there are chemicals in cigarettes, but I mean, if they're just as bad in e-cig, I really don't see why that they're considered better or healthier, so to speak. And even some have been known to explode. So
The safety issue.
The vaping one, at least.
We discussed the safety issue with the hoverboard, and
same concept.
And certainly, any kind of new technology, people are excited about it. And certainly, I mean, I have several friends who have gone from smoking regular cigarettes to vaping, and they swear by it, and it is more economical. And again, you can do it in most places, and even if you aren't allowed to, you can usually sneak it. But I do think we need to learn more about it. In college, I was a chem major, and talk about formaldehyde and the mysterious chemicals that are in these devices, and the lack of regulation. We may need to do a little more research into it. But the idea that it can help you quit smoking, that certainly is a good one, but what is the byproduct of doing that?
And that's something a lot of people think about. It's really new technology. They don't think about the adverse effects until after things have been exploited and so on.
Sometimes I think we put the cart before
maybe
the horse.
The only thing I could suggest is people step back for a few seconds before jumping on the next, you know, hot item, and just give it a few months and then see if there's any bugs, and then, you know, make a better decision to whether or not they want to get it or not.
I guess that's come up also with Windows 10, as I've had multiple clients who have done the upgrade to Windows 10, and they find that the computer is no longer useful because it won't start, or they don't like Windows 10 and kind of wish they went back to what they had. You are able to go back to Windows 7, or in case Windows 8, within 30 days of upgrading to Windows 10, but of course, as it often happens with warranties, sometimes it's the 31st or 32nd day that people decide to make that downgrade. But just like with an operating system, just like any kind of technology, vaporizer devices being in that category, you do want to test things out and weigh the pros and cons and all the other relevant options before making the big dive. Earlier, we had a caller, Brandon, who discussed robots and what a robot should look like. And I did a little research and found out about a company in Spain called PAL Robotics. And they have a robot called the Reem, R-E-E-M, which can do a lot of the things that we only dreamed about in science fiction stories 20 or 30 years ago. Of course, the Roomba, the robotic vacuum, that's been out for quite a while. And it is pretty cool, and the price is pretty good. It does determine where to do the vacuuming and where the wall might begin and where someone's foot might be on the floor, and that certainly has made life easier for a lot of people. What do you think about these full-fledged robots, Brandon? Would you consider trying one out, speaking of trying something out before actually using it?
I would definitely want to try it out before using it. I mean, there's just no question to it. And there's even a bit of a buzz going around that robots will replace a majority of some jobs within the next 5 to 10 years, if that. And to some, that's kind of scary if you really think about it, because, I mean, yeah, robots can do it more efficiently, but that just kind of feeds into the whole technology just taking over as a whole, and you can already kind of see it now, so I don't know. I like the idea, it's a great concept, but I'm a little leery of it, I suppose.
I guess the whole idea that a robot is going to take over something that a human being does.
It already does, but more so, it's kind of scary, I think.
Right. So again, we're saying don't put the cart before the horse. It is interesting to study from a research and pop culture perspective, but don't just jump on the bandwagon and see where you can buy one of these gadgets.
Pretty much.
But certainly reading about it is always a good thing. Any more thoughts, Brandon, while we speak on this chilly Thursday morning? Anything else that's come up in your neck of the woods regarding technology or any other opinions you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I did find this article through social media. It's called Tech Insider. It's an article about schools in Norway are now offering esports instead of gym class. So basically, instead of, you know, the norm of gym class, they can play video games, basically, which I think is an interesting concept. I just wonder if that'll ever translate to our neck of the woods or not. I mean, I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting. I kind of wish I had that in school, but, you know.
So we have e-cigarettes, and now we have e-gym class. How do you take gym class electronically? I understand, I mean, maybe learning history by going to a chat room or taking it online.
Basically just playing video games.
So playing video games, that's actually going to make you physically fit, whereas playing volleyball or kickball or lifting weights or jogging like I did when I was in school, that's going to be just as effective.
Well, that's the initial thought here. That's one thing I can take from this. I'm like, I don't really see the benefit. I mean, it seems kind of like slightly lazier alternative to what there could be done, I guess.
Kids are getting
too bored with working out, so they let them sit down at a computer screen for hours on end.
My opinion, that's completely ridiculous. We need less video games and more physical activity, more human interaction, and more learning. I mean, video games are fine. You can learn a little. Yeah, you can learn a little bit. I mean, I admit it, but I like the 80s and 90s video games. I like Ms. Pac-Man and Missile Command and Pinball. Honestly, these new games are too fancy for me. And I think maybe the more simplistic games, you learn strategy, and they are a bit of an intellectual stimulation. I mean, not as much as going into the chemistry lab, but there may be some value. But if you tell me that playing video games substitutes for gym class, where the body, you know, use it or lose it, well, that's going to substitute for weightlifting or jogging and playing volleyball, golf. Doesn't have to be anything super competitive. I'm not very athletic, but I do like lifting weights. I like taking walks and sports requiring a little less athletic ability than say tackle football, like miniature golf. You know, things like that are good and they're fun and they're good to learn social skills. There is no way that that would be surpassed by taking some e-gym class where all you do is play video games. So that seems kind of scary to me, Brandon. I mean, do you agree with me? Am I being a little...
It's just in Norway, so I doubt it'll translate over here, but, you know, who knows? Give it a few years, maybe there's some bugs or something. We don't know about it yet. Who knows?
Yeah, normally I think of Norway as being a high-tech country with a lot of good ideas, and I'm not sure about that one. That's certainly a little bit scary. I don't think gym class needs to be competitive, but we do need to keep people in shape. Childhood obesity is a increasing problem in this country, and if we play less video games and if we play more video games and less athletic activity, less recreation, then I think, and less physical fitness, and I think it's going to become an increasing issue. So we'll follow that story, because that actually was a new one on me. But again, I can't follow every possible technology story, so I do rely upon listeners like yourself to provide their valuable input. Anything else you'd like to share with us, Brandon? I know you had a bunch of things that had crossed your desk.
The only other thing I can actually kind of add to that last part is that now there's an app that scans your food for calories in real time. Now that's an interesting step. So if you ever want to know how much, you know, energy you're getting from your, you know, meals, I guess this would be a kind of a cool little tool for those, you know, exercising or, you know, watching their weight, etc.
Well, that's a good idea. Just take my smartphone and just scan it, take a photo of it. Oh yes, this Big Mac has 974 calories, so maybe you should have fruit salad instead. And that's kind of cool. I kind of like that one. I mean, that's a good idea. But how does it exactly know? That's calculating calories is kind of complicated.
Not many details are known, but I'm just guessing it goes by what's already known. It takes in the data from previously, you know, previous data, and then adds it into it itself, and then kind of gives you, I'm not going to say an exact idea, but I'm going to give it a pretty good guess as to what it is. I mean, I've used similar apps, and it has a pretty good idea of what, you know, how many calories are in something or how many fats are in it, et cetera. And so, I mean, I'd say it's a good concept. I mean, that was a couple of years ago, so I'm sure the technology is only getting better by now. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking theoretically it could, like, look at a piece of fried chicken and kind of analyze the size or even, I mean, how greasy it is, how much breading it has, and kind of determine, and not to the nearest calorie, but at least within a reasonable margin of error, how many calories that a piece of fried chicken has. And something like an apple, that would be fairly simple because it can weigh the size, even the type of apple, and then give the calories. So not going to be as accurate as something you can do in the lab, but would certainly be a good rule of thumb. And if you are dieting,
I mean, for the general use, I mean, yeah, I'd say it's like a really good app, especially for those who, you know, are trying to watch what they eat, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, that's definitely a good one. So that's an idea that I kind of like. And as a kind of a mathematical geek of sorts, looking at the calorie numbers add up and then saying, well, when I go to the gym, how many of these calories will be burned off? That certainly is an idea worth exploring. Well, thank you very much, Brandon, for calling, and hope to have you live in the studio once again.
Oh, I'm trying to.
And again, you're a person with many interesting perspectives and opinions, and we appreciate your calling in via the old-fashioned method this morning. Stay warm out there. Have a great day, Brandon. We'll talk to you again soon. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, your FM dial. Before Brandon called in, we had a little story about Facebook and some things that they have to work out with in France. Wanted to kind of quickly wrap up that story. The French Data Protection Act is requiring that Facebook do the following things within 90 days to comply with these regulations. They must stop compiling the data of French account holders for advertising purposes without a legal basis, stop processing data that's irrelevant, excessive, or inadequate with respect to the purposes pursued, and inform internet users and obtain their prior consent for placing cookies on their terminal. So I think taking this stance is a good step. Hence might be a model for other countries to follow. We'll keep an eye on that story as it progresses. Well, unfortunately, the show has pretty much come to a conclusion. Went by fast, had a lot of fun. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay warm out there. I shall talk to you again on Tuesday, about 13 minutes after 9. Adam Lepp, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. You're